D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game.
Good choice by D-Mace right here.
A little crisscross.
Yes.
Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Be listening at the end of this segment. I have a pair of tickets to give away to see Nelly at the Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, September 16th. So be listening for the cue to call as soon as we are done with our next guest. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Chad Withrow of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Chad, of course, the Titans open the regular season Sunday at Denver. The line on this game has been shifting over the past couple of days between 7.5 and 8.5 for Denver. At the moment, it's 8.5. How do you envision this game unfolding on Sunday?
You know, I really think, especially in opening games, it's always kind of smart money. Much like the Cowboys last night, if it's a big spread, go ahead and take the underdog to cover. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, if I had to predict, I'd say the Broncos win by a touchdown, but yet the Titans cover that spread. But look, I'm not picturing a scenario where this is going to be disastrous for the Titans or anything like that. I think they're going to surprise in how competitive they are in this game, but I also think they're ultimately going to fall up short. Dre Greenlaw being out, I know officially now for the Broncos, certainly helps the Titans' chances. But, yeah, I think the Titans are competitive in this opening game, but they're going to come up short.
Chad, last night on social media, you had some strong words for Jalen Carter after he was ejected for spitting on slash near Dak Prescott. You said, quote, Jalen Carter should be suspended multiple games for being such a dumbass. He won't, but that's what should happen. Derek agrees with you. I disagree.
I don't
think he's going to be suspended. Please share more of your feelings on what happened last night.
Yeah, I believe in a dumbass tax, right? Like, I think if you do something stupid that hurts your team, you should pay the tax for it. And I just thought it was just, look, first off, I mean, I don't have to sit here and explain, like, how disrespectful it is as a human being to spit on somebody else to begin with. You know, we had a guy in town in Pac-Man Jones, and that was his go-to move. Was to spit on people whenever he disagreed with them. And he's not known as the most respectful person to ever don a Titan jersey or an NFL jersey. So I thought it was really classless of Jalen Carter. Look, he admitted it after the game, said it was stupid, and he apologized for it, and there's no hiding from it. But I think for the NFL, guys, for a league that spent all offseason talking about how they wanted to be as attractive to young kids as possible, and they want to cut out taunting, and they want to cut out any type of celebration that looks like it involves some sort of weapon or anything like that. If they really want to send a message, they suspend Jalen Carter for multiple games. Now, if you look through the history of spitters, you know, Bill Romanowski spat on somebody, on J.J. Stokes. T.O. spat on somebody during a game. They got big fines. They didn't get suspended past being ejected for that game. So I think that's likely what the NFL does. But if you're Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent, you really want to send a message. This is such a high-profile incident. I mean, this is before the first snap from scrimmage in the first game of the season on Thursday night when everybody across the country is tuned in. So everyone saw what happened. Now all eyes are on the NFL office to see what they do. If you want to send that message, suspend them for another game or two. I don't think they will, but that's what I would do if I was Roger Goodell.
What are you looking to see from this Tennessee Titans offense? We've talked about, I mean, not the offense, but the defense. We've talked about the offense so much, but we understand that this defense needs to be better than what they were last season. It's unfortunate for them that the offense put them in a lot of bad situations, but yet still they were not the defense. And I know a lot of it comes from them not being able to stop the run. So is that what you want to see from this defense, that they can stop the run and make Denver one-dimensional? Because I think we're talking about Denver as if they are this offensive juggernaut, which they are not. They're a good team, but they're not the team that can put up 30, 40 points a game. They're a good team, a young team, but they're not one of those teams. Do you want to see the Titans establish stopping the run first?
Yeah, D-Mace. I think that's a big key in this game. Two things that I want to see from the Titans defense. I want to see Jeffrey Simmons be a stud. I want to see Jeffrey Simmons be the player that everyone knows that he can be. Be a force in the middle. Be a run stopper. Be a guy who gets in the quarterback's head because you're at least getting pressure around the quarterback. The second thing I'd like to see, because we know the Titans don't have a proven pass rusher that can get to the quarterback, show me some creativity on how you're going to affect the quarterback in this game. How are you going to affect Bo Nix? This could be sending blitzes from different spots. It could be disguising coverages really well where you get him guessing. But I really want to see some coaching, some creativity defensively to mask a problem for this Titans defense. You know, last night, the difference in the game probably for the Cowboys was not having Micah Parsons. I mean, how many of those Jalen Hurts runs where he escapes pressure, how many don't happen if Micah Parsons is back there getting to the quarterback or getting there a little bit quicker? That was a big difference in the game. The Titans don't have Micah Parsons. They don't have anyone who's a proven pass rusher. So they're going to need to get creative throughout the season. I want to see that. So two things. Jeffrey Simmons, I want to see him play really well and lead. And I want to see the Titans get creative in how they affect Bo Nix in this passing game.
Now, Tavondre Sweat can't play as much as he normally plays because last season he was one of the highest-ranked defensive linemen in regards to percentages of downs he played, and he played a lot being a big fella. But if he can't play as much this game, what do you need to see that front do, or who do you expect to step up?
Well, one is Jeffrey Simmons. And again, I think, too, it's going to be by committee. I mean, I don't know that there's one player that I'm circling and saying, okay, this guy, I want to see something from this guy, and I want to see him step up this year. And I think when you draft Tavondre Sweat, you kind of know, like, I mean, the guy's, you know, close to 400 pounds or whatever he was when they drafted him. Like, he's a spot guy who is a wrecking ball and a force when he plays. But he's not going to be an every down guy, right? I don't think that was ever really the expectation. So, yeah, he's going to be limited, but I think that's a spot where even when the Titans draft him, they know, hey, this guy's not an every down type player. So, I mean, I really think it comes down to Jeffrey Simmons going above and beyond what he's been for this season. If the Titans are going to surprise defensively, Jeffrey Simmons has to be better, and I think they're going to have to be super creative in how they scheme things to blitz the quarterback, to have games up front, to do something in how they disguise to make it difficult on opposing quarterbacks. If not, I just don't see where that pass rush is going to come from. Maybe someone steps up and surprises, but I don't see where it's coming from.
Chad Withrow is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Chad, I saw some non-Tennessee experts say this in the wake of Tennessee looking good with their new quarterback and UCLA looking very poor with their new quarterback, that Tennessee is going to come out ahead on this swap, which didn't look like on paper it had a chance to do. Where do you fall on that theory?
So, look, I think Tennessee is going to come out way ahead. I mean, if we're just looking at based on one game, right, and it's one game, so it's a small sample size. We all know that, right, Willie? But it's also Nico Iamaleava traded down from a teammate perspective in the talent department, right? So all of this is going to be skewed. I think whoever was the quarterback at Tennessee was going to have more success, because Tennessee has way better players than UCLA has. So Nico looked bad, but Nico has no one blocking for him. I think it was the highest pass rush rate in all of college football. I saw a stat today. Was Utah getting to Nico consistently in that game? And keep in mind, one of the things his father said was that Tennessee didn't protect him well enough.
Yes.
And their offensive line wasn't good enough. And so he goes to a place that has even more unproven offensive linemen, and is way worse than the offensive line, and has way worse options at receiver, and a way worse running game. None of that makes sense. So, look, I think Joey Aguilar, he's one for one. He was high in the first quarter. He looked a little nervous. But once he settled in through the great deep ball to Braylon Staley, he looked good. He looked under control. Willie, he looked like a guy who's almost 25 years old, and that's what he is. He looked very mature. And like the moment.
Is he older than Max Johnson, Brad Johnson's son? It's pretty close.
I saw Max Johnson in uniform. I thought he was a quarterback quality control coach.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, oh, that's cute. They let him wear shoulder pads. I'm serious. I couldn't believe he was still in college. When I saw him checking the game, I'm like, oh, they're letting him still wear pads. That's nice. I mean, Joey Aguilar is older than Cam Ward. You know, the three college quarterbacks in this state, Cam Ward, the quarterback at Memphis, and Diego Pavia are all older than Cam Ward. I'm sorry, Joey Aguilar, older than Cam Ward.
Yeah, so and Cam Ward played older. 5 years of college football. It's not like Cam Ward came out after his junior year, you know, as a true junior. These guys, they're able to stay. Well, the COVID rules helped, so I think this is going to go down. But, Chad, can you imagine playing? Like, look, it's even, but imagine being at 24 for your senior year as opposed to 21 or 22, which most kids are. Like, that's a huge difference, and so many people have taken advantage of it, especially these quarterbacks on the college level.
Well, I mean, you know, Willie, think back to your college career. You could have been the leading scorer at Wofford in your seventh year of college. After
I feel
Vanderbilt.
Like it. Yeah, I feel like it.
You, I mean,
hit the
you
portal.
Know, think of all
graduate
all the guys
school.
Didn't get, yeah, didn't get much run, you know, at one place and have gone to other places or, you know, vice versa. It's crazy to think about how old these guys are now, but it's just reality of college football. But look, Joey Aguilar, he's in a better system for quarterbacks. He's in an offense that scores more points. Josh Heupel, regardless of the track record of producing NFL talent at quarterback, his quarterbacks have a lot of success in college. They got a better offensive line. They got better supporting players. It's shocking again to see how badly Nico traded down, considering the situation that he was in. And yeah, I mean, I think through one game, it looks like Tennessee got the better end of it. But do I think that Joey Aguilar is more talented than Nico Iamaleava? No. I think Nico has better physical, natural talent, and maybe that talent rises above at some point this season. But man, oh man, did Utah just manhandle UCLA on Saturday night.
What are you looking for in the Virginia Tech-Vanderbilt game? This is clearly a swing game on Vanderbilt's schedule. It's one they got last year at home. It was a very dramatic game, and it was out of nowhere. I didn't know anything about Diego Pavia. I knew he was going to be the starter. I just didn't know what to expect when I saw him on the field. I was blown away. That was the first chapter there. This is a really interesting test because Vanderbilt really needs this game.
You know, I think about a year ago when, you know, Vandy beats Alabama, and I think it was the very next week they went on the road and beat Kentucky. Very close after that, if my time is right on that. That to me showed that, okay, in the first game, I just thought it was a big surprise. No one knew what Vandy was going to be offensively. No one really knew what Diego Pavia was going to do. And they shocked Virginia Tech for three quarters. Virginia Tech rallies, but Vandy holds on to win the game. But as the year went on, even though people knew what they were going to do, they were still effective doing it. So that's kind of what I'm looking for in this game. You know, Virginia Tech's not going to be surprised this go around, right? I mean, they know exactly what to expect because they saw it a year ago. So how much does that change the start of this game? And I'll say this, too. I know way more. I think Diego Pavia has proven himself more than Kyron Drones at Virginia Tech. He was 42% completion percentage with two picks against South Carolina. He looks like a guy who can run really well right now, and he's not a good passer. So I think that's the key, is if Kyron Drones can be a more accurate passer, I think Virginia Tech is going to have some good luck in this game. But if not, I think Vandy's defense is good enough. And we all know that Pavia and Stowers and that offense is good enough. I think Vandy's got a great shot to go on the road and pull a slight upset.
How bad is it in your mind at Alabama? We know the rhetoric is going to be off the charts, right? When something like that happens, it goes without saying, the Feinbaum clips, everything, they're going to go crazy. Well, do you think their talent is that questionable, or was that just a bad game?
Willie, I know that you're like me and that you're a little bit old school and like little things really festering and bothering you in terms of competition. Or things that you see are just things that are just non-negotiables. I get really mad when I watch that footage of the linebacker and the defensive lineman for Bama coasting and then having to kick it into high gear because they were expecting someone else to make the play. I get really mad when I see all their players holding cell phones during actual, you know, fully padded warm-ups during the games. That stuff doesn't happen under Nick Saban. I just don't think that it does. I think it's a culture shock for Kalen DeBoer. He's used to running programs in different parts of the country. That's not Alabama football. I think he's a really good football coach. I think he wins a lot pretty much anywhere he goes. It just doesn't feel like a fit right now. I mean, Bama's not Bama. I just don't think it's special to beat them anymore. They've lost four games to unranked teams in a season and one game. I mean, people are still storming the field, and I understand it from the Florida State perspective, given they were 2-10 a year ago. But, man, oh, man, I mean, it's a really good win if you're able to beat Bama. But I think the mystique is dead, and that feeling of beating Nick Saban in Alabama, it's totally different now if you're able to beat Kalen DeBoer.
Chad Withrow of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick joining us here on D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Friday. Chad, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, guys, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You as well. Chad Withrow on the program. 615-737-1025. We still have two critical Titans questions left to answer because we missed out on Labor Day, so we're going to double up today. We will get to the ninth of those 10 questions coming up next, 615-737-1025. If you want a pair of tickets to see Nelly at the Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, September 16th, be caller number 4 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Nelly at the Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, September 16th. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.